Mission control personnel, report to your stations immediately. The voice was Dr. Woe's. It sounded frantic. Accident. Grant raced to the control center, thudded into Nacho Quintero when the two of them tried to get through the narrow aisle to the consoles at the same time. Ordinarily, both of them would have laughed at their clumsiness. Watch it, estúpido, Quintero snapped. Lard-ass Grant snarled silently. Ukara and Frankovich were already at their consoles. The wall screens were dark, and Grant saw that all the consoles were lifeless as well, all except Woe's. His console was lit up like a Christmas tree, almost all green lights, although there were several amber and one glaring red.
Where is Dr. Buono?
Woe demanded, his rasping voice trembling slightly. Here, the physician called as she hurried through the doorway to sit at her console.
We received the following message from Captain Krebs,
Woe said, his fingers deftly tapping at his keyboard. Everyone's console lit up. Grant was grateful that the propulsion and power systems seemed to be in no trouble. Two amber lights, the rest solidly green. Krebs' face appeared on the wall screen, five times bigger than life, strained, etched with anxiety. Or maybe fear, Grant thought.
Dr. Pascal has collapsed, Krebs reported with no preliminaries. She complained of a chest pain and then lost coordination of her limbs. Within 10 minutes, she doubled over, vomited bile, and lost consciousness.
Grant glanced at Patty Buono's console. The physician was frowning worriedly as more and more of the lights on her board flared a sullen, glowering red.
Transmit her complete medical readouts, Buono called out. The patient may be undergoing cardiac...
She can't hear you,
Woe snapped.
This is a recording from a data capsule.
How long ago was the message recorded?
Woe glanced at his console screen.
1 hour and 17 minutes ago.
Are they heading back?
I don't know,
Woe answered, shaking his head slowly.
I would presume so.
Then there's nothing we can do until we hear from them again.
You can diagnose Dr. Pascal's condition.
Buono bit her lips.
The data given here isn't enough for an effective diagnosis. Besides, if we can't communicate with them, what's the use?
What has happened to Pascal?
Woe demanded.
The physician's eyes flared angrily. But she turned back to her console lights and said,
It looks like cardiac arrest, but it might be an infarction or something else altogether. I just can't make a definitive diagnosis on this meager data.
What has caused her to collapse?
Woe insisted. I don't know.
Could it be from the high pressure they are exposed to?
Yes, Buono said. It sounded almost desperate to Grant. Or it could have nothing to do with the pressure.
Pah!
Woe smacked his hands on his emaciated thighs in frustration.
Life support systems are all in the green, Frankovich reported, trying to relieve the tension. At least they were when Krebs fired off the data capsule.
What of it?
Woe snapped.
If Pascal is incapacitated, we must learn why.
Incapacitated? Grant thought. What a bloodless way of putting it. Irene could be dead, for God's sake.
A yellow light started to blink on Woe's console, the communications indicator. He banged it with a heavy fist. The wall screen image immediately changed. It was Krebs again, but the picture was grainy, streaked with interference. But it was a real-time image. The submersible was in contact with the station again.
We are forced to return to the station, she said. Please acknowledge.
Acknowledged,
Woe said, almost in a snarl.
What is Dr. Pascal's condition? Buono asked.
Krebs blinked at the camera.
She is unconscious. We have placed her in her berth and put a breathing mask on her to force extra perfluorocarbon into her lungs.
Buono was working her keyboard swiftly, fingers almost a blur. Each of the crew had medical sensors fixed to their skin. Grant saw what he thought was an EKG trace on Buono's console screen, but the green worm line tracing Irene's heartbeat looked weak, irregular to him.
"Put pressure cuffs on her legs and arms," Buono ordered. "Keep the blood in her torso and head." There was a slight but noticeable delay in Krebs' answer. Grant realized that Shenghe was still deep below the cloud deck.
"There are no pressure cuffs in the medical stores," Krebs said.
Buono muttered something under her breath. Grant leaned toward Frankovich and asked, "Is Irene going to die?"
Frankovich shrugged elaborately, said nothing.
Grant tried to look past Krebs' dour, grim face to see the rest of the crew, but the camera was set in an angle that did not show them.
"Patty," he called to the physician, "should you check on the monitors for the rest of the crew?"
Buono shot him a venomous glance. "And what good would that do?" Grant had to admit she was right. There was nothing they could do to help the crew, not until they returned to the station.
"It's all being recorded," Buono added in a softer tone.
"Yeah, okay," Grant said.
After more than 6 hours of communicating with Krebs, Wo told Grant, Quintero, and Ukara that they could leave the control center.
"But you are to consider yourselves on standby alert," the director added. "Be ready to return to duty instantly."
Slowly, tiredly, Grant slid out of his seat. Quintero sprang up, quick and lithe despite his bulk.
"Do you want me to bring you a tray?" Grant asked Frankovich.
"I'm not hungry," he said.
"You're going to be here for a long time," Grant pointed out.
"I'll bring some sandwiches and something to drink." Frankovich conceded with a nod.
"Maybe some fruit, too."
"Right," Grant started for the door.
"And remember,"
Wo said sharply,
"you are to discuss this incident with no one. No one! Understand me?"
The three of them nodded. Grant headed for the cafeteria. He saw that it was early for dinner, yet a fair number of people were heading the same way he was. The line at the sandwich counter was short, though, and in quick order Grant filled his tray.
"Why so glum, chum?"
It was Tomiko Hideshi, grinning at him. It took Grant a moment to realize that, to all the hundreds of other people in the station, this was a perfectly normal workday. Nothing unusual was happening in their lives. Things were going along as always. They weren't worried about a friend who might be dying in a ship beneath the clouds of Jupiter.
"Hi, Tammy," he said.
Nodding at his heavily laden tray, Hideshi said,
"For a guy who's stoking up for a picnic, you look awfully unhappy. What's up with you?"
Grant shook his head. "I've got to get back to the control center."
"The picnic's in there?"
He stepped past her, offering over his shoulder.
"It's no picnic, believe me."
Return. Even though he had been relieved of duty, Grant stayed in the control center, at his console. Under Krebs' command, Shenghe rose through Jupiter's turbulent atmosphere, a saucer-shaped aircraft instead of a submersible. Once above the clouds, Krebs lit the ship's plasma rockets and Shenghe established itself in orbit, a spacecraft once again. Buono never left her console. All the indicators from Pascal's medical sensors showed that her condition was slowly deteriorating. It's a race against time, Grant thought, to get her here where she can get proper medical care before she dies. It took several orbits around the gigantic planet, many tense hours, before Shenghe was in position to start redocking maneuvers. Krebs handled the tricky pas de deux flawlessly, and Grant thought he could feel the thump of the ship's airlock connecting with the station's access tube. It was nonsense, and he knew it. But still, he thought he caught a hint of a vibration down in his guts, a visceral affirmation that the crew had returned safely. They loped down the main corridor, all pretense of secrecy forgotten, in their hurry to reach the access tunnel. Wo, in his powered wheelchair, scattered startled people like a bowling ball rolling through sentient pins capable of getting out of his way, just barely. Despite himself, Grant grinned at the shouted curses and yells of anger that echoed along the corridor as he and the others sprinted after Wo's speeding power chair. Wo was yelling into the chair's built-in phone as he careened along the corridor. He was calling someone. Grant could make out the words,
"Security!"
and
"Seal off the area!"
Apparently, the director wanted to make certain there were no guards.